Pastor said he's been taking me all over New York. I believe that that last conference that we went to was the best one we've had by far. David Gibbs said this, don't do great things for God, do impossible things for God. And God delights to do the impossible. You know why? Because He gets the honor and the glory for it.
Amen.
Let's read Matthew 19. Starting in verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep thy commandments. And he said unto him, which? And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard it, they were exceeding amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. A rich man trusts in his riches. He doesn't need God. If he needs something, he'll go out and buy it. Why get on your knees and pray when you go out and get anything you want? In Matthew 5, it talks about the Beatitudes. And the Beatitude says, blessed is the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. It doesn't say anything about blessed are the rich. I'd like to show you what the disciples said in verse 25. It says, when the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? You know, they had a worldly view. And that's what's wrong with most Christians. We still have a worldly view. They were looking at things like the world says to look at them. You know, growing up in Texas, if you had a big ranch, you were somebody. And if you didn't have a big ranch, you was nobody. I grew up being a nobody. We didn't have anything. But the world looks like it looks to rich people like they've got it going on. They really don't. Some of them do. There's some rich people that are saved and are going to heaven. But very few. I'd like to show you something in verse 26 that I love. Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God. Can I tell you something? But with God, anything's impossible. Anything's possible. God can do anything. He spoke this world into existence. I know I told you all this morning, but I've been praying for my brother-in-law because I knew he was bad. And I just been praying. In fact, yesterday I said, Lord, you know, maybe the day before yesterday, I said, Lord, I know that you could talk to people without anybody talking back to you. You could talk to somebody's heart. If you could just get in there and talk to his heart and tell him that he needs you. However you want to do it, I don't care how you do it. You can send a preacher in there, I don't care. You're God. I'm not telling you how to do it. I'm just asking you to do it.
Yeah.
This morning, I picked up the book and opened it up. And he said, you know what? I can save anybody who calls on me. But it's got to be more than that. You know, I said a prayer in 1987. I didn't get saved until 2006. I called on God. You know, a lot of people come to God and they confess with their mouth, but they don't believe in their heart. I wasn't changed when I confessed my sins and asked Jesus to come into my heart in 1987. You know why? Because I didn't believe. I said the words. I had emotion, but I didn't get saved. Most people come to Christ because somebody will come up to them and say, hey, look, this is what you got to do. You stay out of hell. Who wants to stay out of hell? Everybody. So everybody's going to say, man, I need that. So if I say this prayer, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, then I'm not going to hell. Okay, I can do that and walk right away. Their whole life thinking that I said that prayer when I was 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 15. So I'm not going to hell. But I'm going to live the way I want to. That's what's wrong with America. That's what's wrong with the church today. There's so many people that's in the church, so many people in America that believe in God, so therefore I'm not going to go to hell. Or I've said a prayer, so I got my get out of hell free card, so I'm not going to hell. Can I tell you something? If I would have died between 1987 and 2006, I'd have went to hell. Y'all want to put your phones and stuff down? Okay, well look up here and quit talking to each other. Okay? All throughout Jesus' earthly ministry, he was trying to get his disciples to understand that he was God. And they couldn't understand it. They thought he was man. If you'll turn to... No, don't turn. Just stay here in Matthew 19. In Mark 4, they're out on the sea, and the big storms come, and they think they're going to be swept away. Wait a minute. 4. In verse 39 it says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They thought he was man. And you know what? We have this idea that Jesus is a man still. We put him in a box and say he can only do what man can do. And God can speak anything into existence. You know, all the Jews had the Old Testament. They knew the Messiah was coming. Yet this centurion said, all you have to do is speak it, and my servant is healed. And Jesus tells them, until he goes back to the Jews and said, I have not found so great faith in all of Israel. This guy was a Gentile. Yet he believed Jesus could speak it and it'd be done. You know what? Jesus could speak anything in our life right now and it'll be done. You see, we don't have enough faith. We're like these disciples. We think of Jesus as somebody in a box that can't do anything except for what a man can do. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know what that means? Jesus is God.
Amen.
Jesus could do anything he wants to.
Yeah.
Jesus could raise somebody from the dead.
Amen.
Jesus can heal somebody who's blind.
Amen.
Jesus could do anything he wants to do.
Yeah.
You see, Jesus is God. In Revelation 5... this is John the Revelator speaking. I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith to me, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals. Only Jesus could do that.
Amen.
Okay, no man can do it.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what? There's a lot of people, you know, the Jews believe there was a Jesus. The Muslims believe there was a Jesus. You know, the Muslims don't believe there's a Buddha. The Jews don't believe there's a Buddha. You know why? Because there's all kinds of history that says that there was a guy named Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus did walk this face of this earth.
Amen.
And Jesus was God. Whether anybody believes it or not, Jesus is able to save anybody. And Jesus died for everybody's sin.
Amen.
That doesn't mean, you know, we sing the song, when we all get to heaven, all of us ain't going to heaven. In fact, my Bible says a remnant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A remnant. Have you put God in a box? Turn to Matthew 16. That's why I want you to stay in 19 instead of going everywhere with me. Verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, Jesus was Christ. He was the Messiah. And it doesn't matter if anybody believes it or not. It's still true. And there's a lot of people that I've come across that says, "I've been saved all my life." My Bible says, except you be born again,
yeah,
you can never see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
My dad, I talked to somebody yesterday. My dad's a pastor. I used to be a song leader in his church. But you know, I just don't go to church anymore. I've been saved my whole life. No. There's nobody been saved their whole life. God has no grandchildren. He only has children. And it doesn't matter if your mom and dad are saved. It doesn't matter if your grandparents are saved. You have to get saved on your own. It doesn't matter. And that's not saying a prayer. That's believing in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So who is Jesus to you? Thomas walked with him for 3 1/3 years. Said, "Except I see his hand, prints in his hand, and put my fist through his side, I'm not going to believe." You know what? A lot of people are going to see that.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going to see it, but it's going to be too late. You see, the next time we see Jesus, a lot of time the next time somebody else sees Jesus, it's going to be at the great white throne of judgment. It's going to be too late. He's going to be like this, and they're going to see the holes in his hand. They're going to see the hole in the side. But it's going to be too late. This was my first devotional. It wasn't this one. My first one is like my first Bible. It fell apart. This one's leather, and somebody at the village bought me this. But my first one, my second grade teacher gave me after she found out I got saved. It was a paperback. And this devotion is the best devotion that a new Christian can have. Because there's no men's words in it. It's only Bible verses. You know, it was March the 5th when we heard David say, Brother Gibbs say, that don't do great things for God, do impossible things for God. March 8th, in the evening. "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able." The next one says, "I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." That's God. "Able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Able to succor them that are tempted." able to save to them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them, able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Believe ye that I am able to do this, yea, Lord, according to your faith, be it unto you. God's able. God's able to do anything he wants to. In Daniel 3, I like this. Where am I? I didn't load this one. Daniel 3:16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are fixed to go in the fiery furnace because they won't bend and bow to the idol. Verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image that thou hast set up. You know, I've watched a lot of people come to church that had a need, that had cancer or something bad wrong with them. They won't come to church. They clean their life up. They ask the church to pray for them, and they get healed. And the next thing you know, you look around and you can't find them. Because, see, their need was met. They didn't need Jesus anymore. I've got all I need. He gave me my life back. He took the cancer away. I'm going to go and live my life like I used to. Thank you, Lord. What if he doesn't do that? Does that make him less of a God? Does that make him not God? What if that person dies? My brother-in-law died. Does that mean God's not able to do something? Does that mean that God's not alive anymore, that he died, that he's sleeping? No, God's right there. God hasn't changed.
Amen.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't know that God was going to save them. They said to the king, he's able. Whether he does it or not, I don't know. He's able. And then they went in the fire. We're not going to bend. We're not going to bow. We're going to still serve Jesus. We're still going to do what God wants us to do, no matter what happens in our lives. You know, we're still hooked on this world. You see, we still look at this thing in a worldly view. And we need to look at it in a supernatural view. We need to look at it in a spiritual view. You know, I've always heard it said that if Jesus touches you, you'll be different. I didn't change. In fact, I got real worse after I said that prayer in 1987. I was just now stepping off into my sin. But you know what? When I got saved, I changed. I didn't get a new haircut. I didn't get a new laugh. I do know one thing. I get better looking every day. And that's scriptural. You see, we're supposed to be ever conforming to the image of a son. And I want to tell you something. Jesus is beautiful. He's wonderful. He's marvelous. And if I get to looking more like him, then I'm going to get better looking every day. That's scriptural. And I want to tell you something. I got some ugly feet. I had a friend of mine, he had a foot fetish. His wife has beautiful feet. He told me this. And then one day when I was over at her house, she was walking in the house barefoot. And I saw her. She does have beautiful feet. But can I tell you something? The Bible says that how beautiful are the feet of them that go and preach the gospel. So my feet are getting a little bit better looking every day.
Amen.
That's a great God could do that. What if God doesn't do the thing that you want him to do?
Praise your name.
He's still God.
Yes, sir.
He's still able.
Yes, sir. sir.
Whether he does it or not, he's still able. You see, God can do anything. God could keep somebody who's going to win the presidency by all points and make her not win the presidency. God could put somebody in the White House that would say, you know what, these Christians, leave them alone, I'm going to lift them up a little bit. He could also put one that says, hey, let's destroy everything that the Christians stand for. He did that for 8 years.
Yeah, he did.
So God delights in the impossible. You know, Elijah said, told God, I and only I am left. And God told him, I got 7,000 people that haven't bent their knee to Baal. You're not the only one. Sometimes as a preacher or somebody, as somebody serving God, you may feel like you're the only one out there doing something for God. But when I tell you something, God has His people everywhere.
Amen.
You know, there's still some people that when they said, Lord, come into my life, take my life, use me, forgive me of my sins. There's still some people out there that really meant that. You know the story in John 11 when Martha comes to Jesus and said, if you'd have been here, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus says, hey, your brother's going to live. And Martha says, you know what? Even now, if you prayed for it, it would happen. God would answer you. You see, we've prayed enough prayers in our Christian life that haven't come true, and we think that God doesn't hear us or God's mad at us and it's not going to happen. But God's not mad at us. God thinks you're precious. We had a preacher come and preach the message at the over there one time, and he said, God loves you. God loves everybody. But does He like you? And you know, sometimes in our lives that God doesn't like what we do, but He still loves us. I'm fixed to be done. This is going to be quick. I didn't think it was going to be this quick. I'll have to go down a rabbit trail or something. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I went to school with a bunch of guys that went to church every day, that the doors were open. Their mom and dad did. And so they was made to do it. They went through all the stuff. They knew everything to say. I even had one of my buddies would get up and teach Sunday school. Yet he lived just like I did. He went out and did the same things I did. And I thought to myself, why would I get up early in the morning on Sunday and go to church and have to not sleep in because he's doing the same thing I'm doing Saturday night? And I saw another one when it went to another church, and his mom and dad and his sister is in prison. She's lost her mind because of drugs. And I don't know how he's kept from going to jail. You see, all of them said a prayer. All of them was in church. All of them did the churchy thing. I was telling this guy, I said, you know, drunks and drug addicts are chameleons. They blend into whatever situation they're in. I'm not proud of this. This is how I explain things. But when I was unsaved and drinking and drugging, I went to this one bar early in the morning. And I stayed till 5 o'clock. And I left that and I went to another bar across the town. Because that's where the people who worked got off. They had great steak and great bread. They had great food there. And I would stay there at 10:30. And then I would go over to the kids' bar. And we would stay there and party to 2 o'clock in the morning. I fit in with all the crowds. I fit in with these old people. I fit in with the working people. And I fit in with the young crowd. You know why? I blended in. There's a lot of people that blend in church. You know why everybody likes these great big churches where you just praise and worship and there's not too much talk about sin and getting right with God or anything? You know why they like that? Because it makes them feel good. I've done my thing to God. I went and praised Him. And now I'm going to go out in this world. I'm going to live the way I want to and everything's going to be okay. And then comes judgment. You know, my brother-in-law was like my second dad. They were 20 years and 2 days apart. My dad was 41 when I was born. He didn't have too much to do with me. He was a drunk. I love my dad. He loved me. I love my brother-in-law. He didn't have to take me in. He didn't have to teach me the things he taught me. I love him to death. Either one of them. If they didn't believe in their heart, if they didn't believe in their heart that Jesus was God, if they didn't ask Jesus, God, to take their sins away from them, come into their life, you see, He's got to be Lord of your life, not just Savior. What did Thomas say? My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. You know, there's a lot of things I'd love to do that I can't do anymore. There's some things I do that I probably shouldn't do. But you know what? Y'all don't know the old Tracy. Thank God. The old Tracy's dead. The old Tracy's come back. Can I tell you something? God took so many things away from me when I got saved. I'm so thankful. He took so many things away from me when I got saved. Has God taken anything away from you? Or are you still the same person? You see, I'm afraid that a lot of my friends that went to church every day when we was in high school, I'm worried about their salvation. I'm worried about where they really are going. I'm very close with a lot of people that I went to high school with. And the last time I was there, I got to meet with seven. There was seven of us, at least six or seven of us, that we went to school our whole life with each other. And very close. Very close. All of them doing good. All of them have nice big homes. One of them has a $1 million house. Doing really good. And I believe the one that had that $1 million house, he's really saved. He don't like anything about Facebook. I mean, he really is following God, I believe. He donates to the church and everything. He's big in the church. And all the rest of them, some of them go to church and some of them don't. We get this idea that God's a man. And we get this idea that God loves me and it's okay. But I heard this say this morning, God's a righteous God. He judges righteously. And we heard this from Brother Fisher, that he's an austere man. He's austere. Know what that means? Strict. My brother-in-law was strict. You didn't run your mouth to him, or your mouth ran with blood. I love my brother-in-law. You know, our God loves us.
Amen.
But he's austere. He's strict. He's just. He judges righteously. Does God like you? You know He loves you. But does He like you? Are you always doing the things that please Him? Are you always doing the things that displease Him? You see, I believe that God has opened up some window. He opened it up when He said, Hillary, you're not going in. I pray to God that it's a door. It's not just a window. It's a door. It's a garage door. I hope it's for a long time. But I don't know how long it's going to be. And I thank God for people like Brother Harding that's down there every day. He's there in Washington. And he's praying and he's teaching and he's trying to get these people to understand that to make America great again, a man's not going to do it. A party's not going to do it. America was great because of God.
Yeah.
And to get America great again, we got to get back to God.
Yeah, sure.
Now, there's a lot of people that say that's not going to happen. If you read the book, we understand that it's not going to happen in the end. But see, God doesn't just want to do some great things. He wants to do some impossible things. Now, I'm sure there's some very well-intended people in the Democratic Party. Can I tell you something? There's some pretty evil people in the Republican Party. There's some people up there that's Republicans and from Colorado that's going, if you don't allow Colorado to have weed, then we're not going to bring any appointments up for President Trump. I tell you something, that's a Republican saying that. You know why? Because all he's cared about is getting reelected. Look at the people that he's hurting in his district, in his home state. Look at the kids' lives that he's ruining. Look at this great state called California, the one that we're supposed to model the rest of the world after. It is the worst state in the union. It's the worst possible life that anybody can have. People are out on the street. Now, I'm not just talking about a few. Every state has homeless people. But the quality of living in California is horrible. You know why? Because of liberal views. Because of all the filth that's going on out there. You see, when you get saved, you get changed. Jesus doesn't touch anything He doesn't change. He changed me when I got saved. Not when I said a prayer when I got saved. He changed me. And I want to tell you something. When He changed me, I fell in love with this book. And I read it every day. Not only that, but I prayed every day. Not only that, I started writing me a list down of everybody I knew because I wanted them to go to heaven. See, there's a heaven and there's a hell. You understand that when you really get saved. Have you said a prayer? Have you confessed with your mouth? Have you run around like disciples did and said, you know what? We're going to follow this guy because he's got all the words for eternal life. But in the end, we're not going to be there. You know, it's just something that mom and dad did, so I have to go to church. So until I get on my feet and get out, then I'm going to do my own thing. Because, see, that's what all my friends that went to church all the time did. Is God so important that you won't have to go to church? You could just be all right, just you and Him doing your own thing? You know, I see enough that from church people that I just ain't going to church anymore. I tell you something, church people are not perfect. Jesus Christ is perfect.
Amen.
Okay. There's only one God. Okay? And if you're going to let a hypocrite keep you out from of heaven, go ahead. God is able to save anybody.
Amen.
Now, just because we get on our knees and we fast and beg God to save somebody, you know, it's up to that individual. It's of our own free will if we get saved or not. Do you know what? It breaks God's heart when people die and go to hell. Hell wasn't made for man. Hell was made for the devil and his fallen angels. And you know why the devil tries to get at man so much? Because that's the only way you get at God anymore. You see, it breaks God's heart when somebody dies and goes to hell. And Satan's going, the more I can get, the more I get at God. You know what? The more we help pluck them out of hell and bring them to God's heaven, God's glory, the happier God is with us. You know what's wrong with this world today? The church is inverted. And says, we don't want to go out and get these sinners and mess up our church. We're just going to stay in here. It's a Laodicean church. It's a lazy church. It's a church that's more interested in our personal feeling and our personal well-being than getting out and winning souls. And that's what's wrong with God. Well, that's what's wrong with this country right now. You know, I'm so thankful that all these pastors are going to go meet in Washington. Did you know all the lobbyists meet at Washington every day? This is an annual thing. And Brother Young was talking about if five or six people call a senator or a congressman and talk about one bill, that will put that bill, that voice, up on the congressman or senator's radar. So, hey, look, we had five or six calls saying vote no against this. Hey, wait a minute, this is on my radar. And he's talking about, what if 100 or 1,000 call in on that same thing saying vote no? Not only is it on his radar, he's probably going to vote no. Because, see, they're all the same. All they want to do is get reelected. It's all about power. It's all about prestige. It's not about the country anymore. So, if 1,500 pastors go down there one day a year, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But what if 1,500 of them went down there every day? I wonder if it would change America. I told y'all last week, or the week before, I don't remember, about Ezekiel saying, in Ezekiel, God saying, I looked for somebody to stand in the gap, but I found none. You know, we need to get back to God. And we need to get back to the way God thinks and the way God does things. And it's not just about getting somebody to say, 1, 2, 3, pray after me. Because I've seen that so many times. And I know that some people get saved like that, but very few. You see, with the heart, man believeth into righteousness. I've seen so many people play act. They will go to the altar and cry. Now, I thank God that I was able to work in that ministry and see great things happen. But I've seen so many people at the altar looking back to make sure somebody was looking at them to see that, hey, he's up at the altar. He's doing something. They didn't change. I told one of my guys, he said, Mr. Tracy, I'm going to change. I said, look here. If you change, you won't have to tell anybody. If you get saved, you won't have to tell anybody. It'll show. You know, when I got saved, I didn't tell anybody. Y'all have heard this. I'm sorry. You're going to hear it again. When I got saved, I didn't run around telling everybody I got saved, but everybody saw the change in me. They saw that I didn't drink anymore. They saw that I didn't drug anymore. They saw that I changed my appearance, that I was happy and I was go-lucky and I didn't have any booze or drugs to make me happy anymore. I had the love of Jesus Christ in me. And a couple months after I got saved, people would walk up to me and said, "I want what you have." I said, "You're going to have to change your life." Well, I ain't going to do that. Have you said a prayer, or have you changed your life? You see, God's able to save anybody. God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think into anybody's life for any circumstance. But I believe that we've asked God for a few things and we didn't get them, so we don't believe that He's going to answer them anymore. So why pray? Why do what He wants us to do? That's what most people think. Can I tell you something? I have been so blessed by going to these things. My spirit has been filled, has been fed. But I want to tell you something. When I got saved, my spirit was fed by this. And my spirit still gets fed by this. And I'm so glad that this is our food. In Peter it says, the Lord has been so gracious. What's it say? I'm going to tell you something. God's been so gracious to me. I was talking to my brother and he was saying, "You've come a long way." And I said, "God's brought me a lot of way." 1 Peter chapter 2 says, As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. God has got me as far as I've got. And God's going to keep going. If I keep following Him, He'll keep me rising me up. But can I tell you something? If you haven't changed, if you're the same, if your water hasn't changed, then maybe you need to make a decision for God. That it's just not a confession till I get out of hell. It's a change of life. So I can live for God. So I don't go to hell. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for salvation. I thank You, Lord, that You are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That You are able to save. That Your arm is not short. Lord, there's a lot of people on my prayer list that a lot of people have written off. A lot of people have that gave up on me, said that I'd never get saved. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your long-suffering. I thank You, Lord, that if there's somebody still breathing, if they're still alive on this earth, but they're dead in their sins, that You can still breathe life into their bones. Lord, that You can make them whole again. That there's nothing impossible with You. That You're able to do whatever You want to do, whatever You say. I pray, Lord, that we'd have the faith of that centurion and say, "Hey, You don't need to come here. Mary and Martha thought You had to come there, that You had to lay hands on them." The centurion said, "Just speak the word and it'll be done." I pray that we'd have that great faith. I pray, Lord, that we would start praying for the impossible, not just great things to be done, but the impossible things. It'd be impossible for this country to turn from its evil ways and turn to You. Look at Nineveh. One preacher did that. One preacher doing what You told him to do turned a whole godless nation to You. Lord, I pray that You'd raise up another Jonah. That You'd raise up somebody that preach Your word, to declare Your gospel. That this nation would repent. The whole nation would repent and turn to You. Lord, that would make America great again. I pray, Lord, that You would You'd prick our hearts, Lord. That we would do the things that You tell us to do. That You do, we would do the things that You want us to do. And Lord, we would please You with everything we do. Give us a great night. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand. 308 in our songbook. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence
daily live. I serve.